You're listening to HG 101, a proud part of the Greenlit Podcast Network. Hey there, loyal listeners. As you know, the HG 101 podcast is made possible by our amazing Patreon supporters who help keep the show alive by donating as little as $2 a month. You can be like them. By chipping in, you'll not only help keep the lights on at HG 101 Towers, you'll also gain access to our secret patrons-only RSS feed. That's the feed that gets an extra bonus episode every week. Here's a taste of what you've been missing.
I always find the KOF games very confusing. Some characters have projectiles and kind of just fireball, teleport, moonkick. And someone else is like, I punch in the air slightly.
Who out there is like, okay, I want to be a king among fighters. What style should I adopt? Karate or the fireball dragon style? I don't know. I can't choose. They're so equally matched.
Or you can pelt the enemy to death with basketballs, like Lucky.
He's got unlimited basketballs. And
I do like that, because it's like the Harlem Globetrotters existed in the Street Fighter universe.
I mean, that's what I always liked about Dan from Street Fighter, is he's basically like, I have trained my entire life to fight. Why can that guy use fireballs? What the hell is going on?
So go to patreon.com/HG101 and donate a couple bucks. That's patreon.com/HG101. Act now and be a hero.
For some, this is painfully obvious, but hardcore gaming means it ain't for the novices. The main source to brain train your knowledge, a lane maintained with a course aimed at colleges. To HG 101, we give the honor. Thanks to Kirk, a lot of Xerxes to host it proper, as well as Satanga, Cal, and Bobinator, Ogre Hart, and others. Discuss and discover all the 47,000 games, and when they rate them, you can bet it's scientifically locked in position. Speaking of which, no system is obscure. And look, they wrote a book about it. Go out and cop yours.
Hello and welcome to HardcoreGaming101.net's top 47,858 games of all time podcast, where we objectively, definitively, and scientifically rank the games that you nominate. My name is Xerxes, and I'm the show's main host and producer, and on this podcast we have three rules. Rule 1, all rankings are final, official, and scientifically accurate. Rule 2, you can nominate one game at a time via 5-star review on iTunes or Stitcher. Those are the ones we try to get to first. You can also go to bit.ly/rankthisplease. and add a game to the slush pile and cross your fingers. We make no guarantees on those. Rule number 3, you can nominate games that have already been nominated, but just don't nominate games you've already ranked. See the master list for yourself. It's at bit.ly/47kgames. That's bit.ly/47kgames.
Dog's power. Hey, dog's power. Hey, dog's power. Hey, dog's power.
You change again. Kill ya!
Alright, welcome to Top 47K Games. Today we are doing Dark Seal, Gate of Doom. That's two different names. This game was nominated to us by Kwepis on Stitcher. The game was developed by arcade developer Data East and published in arcades by Data East in 1990. Worldwide? Probably. I'm Carl.
You sound like Yoda, then.
and that would be Satanga.
Hi. That's Satanga, and this is Bob, and you're correcting him, because we clearly have a way we do this, and he forgot.
I don't know. What is that way? We have no way. You're stuck playing Dark Seal.
I'm just ribbing Satanga.
Gate of
Yeah, I don't think we have to be 100% for this game, because this game is far from 100% spoilers.
It's a 50% game, isn't it?
Well, we're just going right into it, aren't we?
Well, the game's called Gate of Doom. Like, you don't make a good game and call it Gate of Doom.
That's not a pretty generic, yeah. I mean, the film The Gate was apparently really good, but...
Gate. Did I see The Gate?
Well, we got a game called Doom, and that's pretty okay, but not a game called Gate.
The Pit is really good. Or is that the game, The Pit? I like The Pit, the game.
And Dark Seal reminds me of Dark Seed, so what does that say?
Dark Seal is the prequel to Dark Souls, right? That's the game.
Oh, for God's sakes, no.
This game reminds me of Dark Souls, and that is terrible. Am I right, everybody?
I'm going to kill you. I'm going to stretch my hands all the way down to Australia and, like, drop you into a rabid Tasmanian devil pit.
Well, it would still be marginally better than having to finish this game. I tell you what.
I like how we're just, like, this against the game, despite from the
start. I want to set your expectations low, and then when we say that the game isn't actually terrible, you'll be like, oh, okay, maybe I'll check it out. And then you'll be a sucker, because you'll be playing Dark Seal, the Gate of Doom.
Let me try to start the game here. It is a fantasy-themed, isometric beat-em-up shooter kind of game.
Oh, yeah, sell it to me, Bob.
It's almost like Gauntlet, I guess, is like the closest thing I compare it to.
It's kind of like Gauntlet without the monster spawners. There are monster spawners in it, but they're not used to the same degree. It's a lot more of a fantasy adventure. You go from location to location and just kind of deal with stuff and move through the level. Which kind of makes it also a bit like Namco's Valkyr, no, Detsu, or whichever, the, That game, the good one, with the cute Valkyrie with the wings on her helmet, you know.
Legend of Valkyrie?
Yeah, that one.
We ranked that.
It's a great game. This one's not, but it's kind of like that. You just sort of, you wander around, and you follow a pretty linear path. There's some alcoves and side things to just kind of walk down for 2 seconds to find, like, a treasure chest. Because you find treasure chests in this game, which is how it delivers treasure for points, and... semi-permanent power-ups, which is probably the only thing that this game does that's sort of interesting.
Well, you get 4 characters to choose from. Medieval Knight, Medieval Sorceress,
Wizard. No, I gotta correct you here. She is a wizard. It's very clearly she is a wizard. She's not listed as Sorceress.
That, like, every time you pick a character, there's, like, this super poorly acted voice clip, like, I'm the knight, I am the wizard,
wait, I gotta say I'm this, the bard. Bard. Yeah, the bard, the very medieval bard, and then, ninja!
Yeah, my favorite D&D class.
Character. And ninja. He sounds, like, racist, like, I'm a ninja! Like, he's, like, out of some sort of really badly dubbed, like, Godfrey Ho film or whatever.
But it's made by Data East, so they just, that's whoever they got to do the voice for, it was just, yeah.
The sequel of this game is even worse because it booted out the ninja, so, like, you know,
Well, you say worse, but I say better, because the ninja is this anomalous, like, whack-out guy. It's just like, go forth, knight, and wizard, and bard, and ninja. It's like, hold on, what are you even doing here?
It's like somebody's D&D party, except one person is, like, a huge weeb or something.
Because I believe, because Clade has gone to bed for this recording, but I believe that in D&D, the ninja is a class in some iterations of D&D.
There are assassins and rogues, but they're not, like, Asian.
I'm certain in, like, 1 or 1.5, like, some early thing, they slipped in, like, a character that was, like, just literally a ninja, but maybe
I'm sure we can ask him later. He is the expert.
A main thing is you get to pick between 4. They're all equally boring and crappy. And, kind of, I think the wizard is pretty good, her attacks, they all have kind of slightly different attacks, and I think they have different, foot speed, I think is the main difference between the characters, and I think the wizard's has a slower moving attack that hits a lot more area and does more damage, possibly, so quite a good choice, to play as her. I think the bard's attack kind of sucks. He does not throw... like lanolins or like violas or something. He does not throw instruments. He like shoots magic, like arrows or something from.
No, he has extending trident thing.
No, that's the knight. Oh wait, yeah.
No, the knight has
a mace.
He has an extending flail mace ball and
chain thing.
Yeah, but I thought I thought that the bard's projectiles just go out. I didn't think they come back.
Wait! I gotta say this. The technical name for the bard given in the opening splash screen is called an elastic speetum.
Oh, he deploys the elastic speetum.
That sounds like some sort of bad pornographic.
Yeah.
I was going to say that sounds more like some kind of lewd medical tool or something.
Exactly.
Give me an elastic speetum. They're going critical. I don't know. It's a... Yeah, and then you've got the... I don't even give a crap about the ninja. He throws shurikens or he throws...
Oh, actually, a speedum is a pole weapon that was used in Europe during the 13th century. This actually exists.
No, okay, I believe it exists.
What do you think about Dark Seal?
What do I think about it? I think it is hack and slasher.
No, I believe it exists.
Oh, shit, Kurt. Hey.
Oh, okay. This is what's going on. I can't believe that we have an interloper. Finally, we got a party of four. I call the wizard because I'm not being.
I'm ninja.
I'm going to be the magician.
Too late.
Sorry, Bob, you're the knight.
And I said, I'm the knight. not that bad.
We haven't really talked about the game. We're 7 minutes in, and Kurt has joined us. We forgot to tell him we were talking about his favorite game by dating.
I don't have much to say about the game itself.
Okay, so have you established as kind of like a run and gun, but kind of not?
Oh, we described it as gauntlet-ish.
Yeah, that's a pretty good starting point, in that it's sort of like a your people that throw things. It's multiplayer, but only two of them. And
that's so weird about this game. I think
it's
like,
bogus.
Yeah,
it has the framework of an RPG, even though it isn't one. It sort of reminds me of Kadash by Taito, which is a completely different type of game, and it's one of those titles that I like in theory, but in practice, it isn't really that fun.
Yeah,
this one, when you actually play the isometric game, everything feels kind of cramped, and it constantly makes you dodge things, and it's really frustrating because you have virtually no health.
The big thing with this game is that it just feels like you're constantly being swarmed by enemies to take way too many hits to kill, and it just never slows down.
Yeah, I mean, the first stage is all those little face traps that shoot darts at you that you can't really dodge. The boss battles in this game, I think, come close to ruining it, because they're really they're really rough.
The bosses are great. They're that that kind of boss. This is, as we said, it's isometric. It's not the standard, like, I don't know, like three-quarter or whatever ISO. It's just kind of like ISO, sort of.
The backgrounds are presented from like a skew perspective, but your characters don't move that way. And even then, it's not consistent. You know, like some levels are still shown kind of straight on, kind of overhead.
it's a little weird. And yeah, it's an unforgivable sin in an ISO type game. The bosses and everything in the game exists. Their physical sprite on screen is where they exist. So even if you're standing behind a dragon or an enemy, they just hit you. It doesn't matter. Even if logically they would be huge and tall, if they touch you, you take damage.
It just must be too difficult to program that sort of hit detection.
Right. Well, sure.
Difficult in that apparently Data East did not have the reputation for the best programmers or developers.
Dig on poor Data East.
There was some sort of I think it was Schmopulations, that it may have been even in an interview with the Data East people, that was like talking about the way that a character in one of the games jumped, and that they just sort of went up and went down because the programmers didn't know the trigonometry to make him like jump at an arc.
I can't believe this Data East is entirely programmed by me.
This game wasn't Trio of the Punch, perchance?
Trio of the Punch is a masterpiece.
It is. I wish we were talking about that instead.
That's already been ranked, though, right?
Has it?
I wouldn't believe it, because I'm looking at the top of the list right now, and I don't see Trio of the Punch on it.
Okay, I nominate that as my next Patreon thingy.
Done.
I'll tell you that right away. Thank you.
One thing Cal's not mentioned about the boss fights... What's really great is, like, the bosses take 500 hits, and you take about three.
Oh, yeah. And that's great. And the magic spells, they are usually disabled when you go into them. It's like, oh, come on, just give me a break.
We didn't even discuss the magic. That's its whole own
thing.
Talk
about the magic. This is the game's point of difference.
Yeah. There's a meter that builds up when you kill enemies, like most other sort of games. And there's a spell book that kind of flips through these different spells randomly. And some of them are elemental-themed. Others you just transform into like a Medusa head or a bunch of rats.
You can transform into a big metal marble or something. It's probably the best transformation spell in any game I've ever seen.
It's a lot of fun. The funniest one is the boulder, which it can't roll. It's just like a gigantic rock that sort of like bounces along very slowly. But it could create like small earthquakes, so it's not as useless as it initially looks.
I mean, it's basically like all of the spells in this rotating spell book that you have to just kind of sit and patiently wait for. They all just kind of like turn you into a thing, don't they? And then you just get like a kind of an area of effect or spell, like you fire homing projectiles or like an AoE or something.
Yeah, you just turn it, but it doesn't like make you invincible or anything like that. It just changes your form differently.
You can just straight up die immediately, because your character stands still to use it. So you actually can get completely surrounded and die basically using your spell. So, great.
Yeah, good. Not exactly Golden Axe when it comes to impressive effects.
Also, I like that even in amongst the terrible assortment of, like, you getting your ass kicked, there is a spell that just straight up turns you into a pig. You don't get an ability for turning into a pig. You just... It's like the polymorph spell gone wrong.
Yeah, well, that's the... There are character statuses. Like, you could get poisoned, you get confused, petrified, and the pig.
This game's really out to kick your ass. It doesn't really give you anything good.
The pig thing is from the question mark spell. Does that ever give you anything good? Is it random?
No. You just turn into a pig.
You can turn into... I'm referring to the article I wrote a couple years ago, so I'm hoping it's correct. You turn into a treasure chest that'll give you stuff.
Oh, good, like points.
With the question mark spells?
Maybe, I didn't make a note of it.
So I used the question mark spell a couple times, and I was the pig every time. I don't know if it does something else, but I certainly didn't have good luck with it. Also, if you turn into the pig, you basically die, because the enemies will just keep killing you.
I want to say, if this game didn't make you tankier, the least it could have used was a dodge mechanic, in my opinion. Like,
it could have, but this game was just kind of tossed together.
Really, like, the big thing that kills is just you barely do any damage to anything, so it takes forever to kill enemies.
It's very unsatisfying to play, because you can get through it by playing it very slowly and very kind of, like, methodically. Just, you know, move a little bit, let an enemy or two spawn, take care of them, and move on. And it's not rewarding to play it like that, but you can kind of crawl your way through the game. It doesn't really work very well in two-player, because it's just kind of hard to maneuver multiple characters around, since the game just kind of hardlocks the edges of the level, and it's a complete pain. But
yeah, a little game design tip: damage sponginess does not equate into satisfying difficulty. It just makes things more tedious, and being that, you know, dragging fights out a lot longer means you will die a lot more. That's not challenged.
Stopping your face. Player has to spend more money.
Yeah, it's like one of those
arcade games.
Yeah, but it's like this game came out in 1990, and visually, it's not really that impressive. So this is sort of games you could sort of forgive that they weren't very well designed because they looked pretty cool, and this is not really one of those games.
I was actually really surprised that this one went all the way to being released. because, you know, like, we do know that several arcade games, they test them, and they're like, no, it's just, we're not going to bother, we're not going to print off, you know, 100,000 of these machines and try and sell them to dumbasses.
Yeah, sadly, Jalico's Chimera Beast was unreleased, but I liked that one.
Yeah, like, there's quite a few games that like that, but this one, like... just seems like it would have not done that well, and yet it got a general release, and it was released in Japan and America, so...
They changed the names between territories, though, because it's Dark Seal 1 and 2 in Japan, and it's called Gated Doom over here, which, I mean, I never saw a cabinet.
I've never heard of the game, really.
Yeah, I had never heard of it, and then there was Wizard Fire, which is the sequel, which I had also never seen.
The sequel, at least, is... kind of addresses some of the problems with this one.
The sequel is better. It's not a fantastic game, but it's definitely better.
Yeah. It takes out the ninja, unfortunately, and replaces them with more fantasy inline dwarves and elves, but... I guess that's more in line.
That game also
has
slightly better cutscenes, too. This one's got just stupid, like... Yeah. Most of the time, it's the king sitting in a chair telling you to go fight things, which is just a weird...
Yeah. I mean... I can sort of see what this game's trying to do, sort of riding the beat-em-up wave of the latter 80s to the year just before Street Fighter 2 came out and pilloried the genre forever, for better or worse.
Well, I mean, this thing's, like, interesting, because obviously, Kurt, you're basically an expert on all of these, but, you know, there was a lot of the post-Conan the Barbarian sort of games. You know, there was all this, like, Rastan?
Yeah,
Rastan.
You got Rastan, you obviously got,
Golden Axe.
Did Golden Axe come out at the same time as this one, or just before?
No, Golden Axe was like several years before.
Golden Axe was, I want to say, 88, 89? And this is 90.
I thought...
This is 1990.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, I don't know, like, this feels like it's showing up late for that particular kind of game. Because I remember there was a density of, like, fantasy games like this in the later part of the 80s. There were a lot. It was a popular genre.
Well, you're right. The first Golden Axe was 89. I could swear it was released earlier. Huh.
But, oh, well. So it's kind of weird that this one sort of shows up, and it's like, okay, play this, and I couldn't even bring myself to finish this game, to be perfectly honest, to be absolutely honest.
It's kind of fun up until the second level boss, and at that point it's just, you gotta either credit for you to cheat through it.
The second level boss at least looks cool. It's this giant purple tentacle thingy right out of a Lovecraft story, so...
Oh, and yeah.
And all the bosses are really great, because they're, like, die in absurd ways. You know, like, they explode into pieces, they fall apart, they melt. My favorite one is you fight a dragon, and when you beat it, it just kind of, like, stands up and, like, clutches its, like, heart, like, oh, I'm dying! And then it just kind of, like, dramatically falls to the side in this, like, really overacted way. Just like, what the hell?
So, yeah. Bob, go ahead.
I think my favorite boss is the one that's basically just a beholder.
Yeah, that's the third one. It's clearly wearing its D&D influences on its sleeve. I do like the look of the bosses, and, you know, it is... You at least feel something if you manage to kill them, but... Like, how worth it is it, really, to try and just whittle down these damn damage sponges? It's...
It is very strange. I don't know. That they kind of seem to have just gone in and said, oh, you want to play smart and fight the bosses? No. They just... Because you can't use the magic. They just force you to take as long as possible to beat the bosses.
Balls in your face, give us your quarters, the end.
It's such a strange choice, because I would definitely... If I'd have played this one in around 1990, I would have put one credit in if I had been like, oh, cool, fantasy. And then I would be like, no, this is terrible. I would have
walked
away.
And then you would just gone to play Golden Axe instead, or Final Fight. Or
entirely possibly. So it's such a strange thing. If this had the four-player support that it kind of maybe looks like it might have wanted to have, I could see that working kind of, even though the screen would be really full. But at least four lots of damage would get the enemies down a lot quicker, so I don't know if they were ever planning to do that and just kind of crunch the cabinet down to a two-player variant or something. But other than that, I don't get it!
Thing is, this game is only... It's about less than half an hour, but somehow it feels a lot longer, because it just it's that much of a slog.
And I gotta say, this game falls into the... realm of mediocrity, where I don't know if it's just my bias against high fantasy in general, but this, well, except for a few of the bosses, as mentioned, it doesn't really do all that much to distinguish itself visually. There's no really interesting gimmicks this one can be recognized for. It is just, quote, a video game, unquote, and I don't really know what else to say about it.
The central thesis of the Data East book that we put out was that they were like the Canon films of video gaming.
Holy shit!
That's a good way of looking at it.
Great comparison. I like that.
Yeah, so they would just fit into like popular genres and kind of do its thing, and maybe there'd be something dumbly likable about whatever they put out, but they were for a while not very good. And this is very typical, that sort of stuff. It's not as strange as some of the other Data East games outside of, like, again, those...
I think what's really missing from this one specifically.
Yeah, because the sequel at least had some, like, sound clips and just strange dialogue.
I will say it makes a lot of sense if Golden Globus was behind Trio of the Punch. I can at least understand.
Oh, that was much weirder than anything they would have put out.
You know what? You might have a point there. But
like, this one,
it sounded like the managers of Data East were really not on the ball. They were just like, let the programmers do something in the quarter for a number of months, check to see what they got, and then kick it out the door.
I admire how gonzo the company was, but between Burger Time and like Boogie Wings, I'm not sure they've really had a really definable classic that they could really proudly claim to be their own. I hate to say.
Yeah, I mean, what do you did like Cliffhanger come out or?
Oh, Bloody Wolf was like 92, 90,
Bloody
Wolf. Oh yeah, Bloody Wolf is
pretty good.
One of my favorite TurboGrafx 16 games. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and Desert Assault slash Thunder Zone.
Yeah, whatever. Heavy Barrel is a little janky, but I like it a lot.
Yeah, no, Heavy Barrel's really good. Yeah, Data East is just a really weird roulette of quality. I admire the company, but you kind of have to dig around for some of their better games. Oh, Nitro Ball was great. That was really fun.
I mean, that's the thing is, this one has no real weirdness to it. It's a fairly humdrum game that doesn't, like if it went to sci-fi or something at some point, or if it went weird, but it doesn't. It just kind of stays really grounded, which is odd.
What this game does, I think Taito's Dungeon Magic does better. I mean,
Dungeon Magic
is
a lot better, yeah.
Yes, I love that game. This is not Dungeon Magic.
I confuse that game a lot with the sequel, because they look kind of similar.
With Wizard Fire? Well, I can see that, at least. Yeah, Wizard Fire is at least something of a quality step up. I still wouldn't call it an all-time classic, but I would, if you wanted to play a game like this, I would just go straight for Wizard Fire and just kind of throw Gate of Doom to hell.
Music's pretty good. They actually had really good composers and some decent sound hardware that uses, like, samples and FM synth really well.
That's fair. But,
yeah, I was surprised that the, because, you know, obviously arcade games usually have pretty not great music. And I was like, wow, the music's actually really good with this. It wasn't good enough to keep me playing the game, but it's like a step above generic sort of, I don't know, high fantasy stuff. Like, it doesn't, it's a little bit more interesting.
This game operates on the Tim Fallon principle that the game's not great, but hey, the music's all right, so that's something.
It's very all right. It's probably not quite at that level of, like, you could kind of listen to it. It's just kind of like, oh, good. This is the only thing kind of holding this together. We're going to have to rank it. It's not doing well, I gotta tell you.
The thing is, like, the running thing this game just has, like, leaves no impression on you. Either that, or you're just glad you're not playing it. So.
Let me just throw out the contemplation of whether or not a blithely mediocre game is actually worse than a legendarily bad one. What do you think about that?
I think even calling it mediocre is a little bit generous.
Wow.
I mean, the best thing about this game is I don't believe it ever got any sort of home port, so you were kind of, unless you were an actual arcade operator, it was kind of on you if you spent any money on this game, because once you put, like, a dollar or two in, you'd be like, do I really, really want to keep playing this? And you could walk away.
I mean, I do like the concept of having all those character classes together, like just having a ninja and a knight with a mace in the same game. And the bard,
I mean,
he's a cool bard because he has, like, a gigantic spear for some reason.
Yes, it's called
It's called an elastic speedo. Yeah. I said that earlier in the podcast where he came on.
Sounds medical somehow.
It does. Like, when I was reading the article, like, is this a real thing? Do they just make up something? Is it a typo? But
no, I saw that a speetum was an actual, like, 13th century European spear-type weapon, and elastic just means it has automatic Viagra powers. So
what I'm going to talk about in terms of ranking the game is we got in the 500 ranges. I'm sorry, everybody.
I was actually thinking about going there, I'll be honest.
God. I was looking at 400s. I'm too
Yeah, nice I just kind of zoomed in on Vendetta around 420. I'm like, that's kind of about,
I would much rather play Vendetta.
I can't believe Vendetta's that low. I quite like that game.
Oh, but
I think we found it. Was it that we found it really just kind of coin feedy? Like, you just had to spend a lot of money. Like, it wasn't a lot you could actually do to kind of get through it. The reason is, like, if you scroll down, because this game is not notable. We've very clearly said we can't find anything notable about this game. If we're wrong, that's on us. But, you know, so if you go down to the 500 range, at 500, we put Golden Sun, 502. We've got No One Can Stop Mr. Domino at 501. I mean, you've got, like, Evergrace in the 500s. You've got Star Wars Arcade we put there because it's not very good. You know, some of these games are like, ooh, I would probably play that. Probably?
I think it's better than RoboCop versus Terminator. Maybe?
I'd allow that, sure.
Okay.
It's better than Shadowgate, also. Dungeons & Dragons Order of the Griffin. I mean, this is basically an unofficial D&D game.
This is better than Dungeons & Dragons Order of the Griffin. That's not tall praise, but I will accept that is probably true.
I'd rather play Brain Dead 13. It's, you know, it's not fun to play, but at least it's interesting.
So this game just barely avoids the Jones Zone, but it's not that much higher. I'm going to at least place it above Bill Lane Beer's Combat Basketball. Sorry.
That does put it above Sword of Vermilion, which I think is at least somewhat similar in the sense that it's a boring-ass medieval game.
That's a good comparison.
But
this one at least is an action game. That's an RPG, so it's automatically more boring. I'm biased. I'm a dick. It is what it is.
Can we put it above Sewer Shark?
Okay, fair.
All right.
What? Objection, Kel?
Sewer Shark. You know that.
All right. How about below Blaster Master 2, then? Because, you know, Blaster Master 2 is just this giant disappointment. It's just this kind of an insult, almost, to the original Blaster Master, so.
So that I like the original Blaster Master, hence as rough a game as it is, I would at least put that above this. Above Blaster Master 2. This above that. Fuck, that's.
Kurt, what did you think?
This is all accurate.
Okay, so between Sewer Shark and Blaster Master 2 sounds good?
Yeah, I would also put it above... No, geez, I would put it above Sewer Shark, but...
You would put it above Sewer Shark?
Oh, but no, Blaster Master 2, this is fine. This is
all right,
enough.
We're set.
I can't believe... I love negotiating with Kurt. It's very fun. Kurt, you killed me. Okay.
Sewer Shark is at least a legendarily bad game, as opposed to a blithely mediocre.
You can get entertainment out of Sewer Shark if you just watch it, at least.
Sewer Shark has that bald guy that was the friend from Total Recall that ended up betraying
That's right.
Him.
That is the piece of trivia everyone likes
Robert
about
Costanzo.
Sewer Shark.
Oh, Robert Costanzo. He was Harvey Bullock on Batman.
Yeah, he's a good character actor. He really gave it his all there. He's a professional.
Very underrated, yeah.
Yeah, he does a great job in Sewer Shark, which means that something in Sewer Shark does a great job.
Yep, Gate of Doom, I'm sorry, I love you, Data East, but this is just a D-minus test here. And I wouldn't call it an out-and-out F, but it deserves at least a see-me-after-class proviso, so.
Yeah.
It has the theme music on my MP on my phone, and the music, that's...
You got the theme music to this game on your phone.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I have... thousands of themes on my phone, but that's one of them, so.
That's probably the best thing about this game, which is never particularly good if it's just like, remove all of the game but the music, and then it's okay.
Yeah, if you want to play a game like this, like I said, Dungeon Magic / Lightbringer is, I'd say, the most immediate counterpart. And of course, you know, Capcom's King of Dragons and the two Dungeons & Dragons games, they did.
I mean, even something like Gauntlet also, Legends is a much better
walk Legends?
Around
Sorry.
Things
Gauntlet Legends. Gauntlet. That's the kind of game I would recommend most for this sort of thing.
Yes, definitely. There are several options that are so much better than this, and it's just like, why bother? You know?
Ouch, you know. 524, Dark Seal, Gate of Doom. Thanks, Quepus. I really, really hope this wasn't a game that you liked and you nominated because you liked
just
it.
Savage the summit. Oh,
I know. We knew it.
Like, it's worse than be a mediocre
games,
game than
we'll,
like,
we'll just
bad
be
one.
Terrible.
Yeah.
That's all for this episode. Special thanks goes out to our lovely co-hosts and compatriots, our booking agent Jeff Rude, our theme song MC Norm, check him out at Normally Retro on Twitter, and our technical assistant, video editor, and scriptwriter Ed Burns. You can support this podcast by making a small monthly donation at patreon.com/HG101. I know I did. By subscribing to the HG101 YouTube channel, and by following at GC9X and at HG_101 on Twitter. You can also hang out with us at our Discord channel. It's at bit.ly/HG Discord, but most importantly, help us spread the love of games by getting on iTunes, subscribing to HG101, and giving us a 5-star review. Do it because you like us and you want us to succeed. Until next time, keep keeping it real.